Many Possible Cities, 3 giorni di incontri, mostre e laboratori curati da chi progetta le città di domani tra arte, design e green thinking.
If you had the chance, would you change the world?
Radio Papesse Live da Manifattura Tabacchi.
Would you change the world? I didn't say save the world, I said change the world, improve it, make it better than we find it.
Kendall Tickner.
With a passion for urban planning and agriculture, Kendall spent 10 years transforming abandoned factories into bustling campuses for creatives and entrepreneurs. She launched Industry City and Mana Contemporary and consulted on other urban mega projects, including Ponds City Market and Chelsea Market. She's the founder of the Collision Project, an art platform that facilitates queer and marginalized artists to exhibit large-scale work in public spaces. Kendall lives now in Los Angeles, where she's working on a new space for urban agriculture called Wild Captives, while continuing her real estate consulting. She's a photographer, artist, and plant enthusiast. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start from the really, really simple, because most of the mega, I would say giga project you've been involved in the last few years are large scale adaptive reuse projects. Can you tell us what adaptive reuse means?
Yes. Adaptive reuse is the purpose of, or the process of repurposing buildings that have outlived their original purpose for different uses while retaining their historic features. It's basically giving new life to old buildings.
Is an inclusive space, because on your website you really underlined like the way you're working, especially also with the Collision project, what inclusive for you and how did you work on how do you say in English
inclusivity? I think an inclusive space is somewhere where everyone feels welcome and connected and safe. And then the way to work on that, I think it has to come from the, I mean, one way is design of physical space, but something that I'm really interested in is like the human design and how it's really important that the people behind the project have an inclusive community in like they're on the staff. And the employees and the people working there need to feel safe, heard, understood, and then they're the nucleus in which it like goes out to the larger community. I think that that is the key, is making sure that the people behind it have that mindset themselves. That also applies to the people on the ground, like the business owners, the shop owners, the security guards, making sure that everybody is kind and welcoming and open is the first step.
Do you think it's something that you can plan or you can design, or it's a process?
I think it's really important to have good people at the helm of your projects and good people interacting with the public and each other. And that I think can be planned. But no, I don't think it's copy and paste for these things. But I think if you hire correctly and train properly, you can have the right people in place that make people feel good about being there.
And how the Collision Project come to the fore for you?
That was just a personal passion originally. And then a lot of my friends are artists in New York, and just wanting to give them a platform to display large-scale public works. But then seeing the like positive impact on the community, and also how, you know, I was marketing director on this project, so how much it just increased user-generated content to an extreme amount by having like interactive art around the campus was undeniably successful. So then I really wanted to make sure that it wasn't just members of the Industry City community of the artists there, and also not just people that I knew or people I worked with knew. So we made it an open platform where anyone can submit online to have their art, to have the artist paid and the art produced large scale. And that was really important to me, to just make sure that anyone can kind of apply and submit work.
Well, collision is a nice word to use.
Yeah.
Why collision? It's a friction. It's also something that is, it means also conflict in a way. It's was something that you needed, like, to trigger a certain kind of new or diverse dynamics in the space of Industry City, or...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, collision, just the fusion or the interaction of different entities. I think that that's the key. I don't think that the art needs to be cool or beautiful at all. If it does encourage a collision that's negative, I mean, that's sometimes, it's better than people not talking to each other. I mean, that's not good, but you want art that encourages communication and interaction between people, because the world's kind of lonely.
And you're still involved in the Collision Project?
Yes.
From Los Angeles?
Yes.
So it's more than New York?
No, my coworker that I used to work with is now running it, and I just consult and am part of the committee helping select the artwork.
Why did you leave New York? What was pushing you away, or why did you choose Los Angeles?
Well, I had been at Industry City for three and a half years, and it was, we were doing really well. We had a lot of new companies there. It was a very crowded pub, you know. We went from a pretty empty space to a really lively public space. And I got a new job offer to come consult on a project in Los Angeles, and decided that I'd lived in New York my whole life and it was time for a change. And I originally thought it would be temporary, but I like it there. Well, I live in Los Angeles now.
Because it's nice how, I wanted to ask you, when do you feel that a project you've worked on or that you've been dedicated, I think it's a very level intense. So when do you feel that something that you contributed to create is self-sufficient, or that you can...
That's been the hardest thing for me to figure out. And it took me a while to get to the bottom of that. And I think I've been so emotionally attached to some of the projects at the beginning of my career that I stayed too long when I stopped learning and was ready to move on and ready to hand off the project to someone who can bring a new perspective to it. But now I know that my strength is in launching them, is getting them from nothing to something, and that's also what's exciting to me, is seeing the potential there and like being able to invigorate it with soul and, you know, the right mix of people and get the right stories out there. And then once it is in the public eye and with the right people on the ground, it actually does become like a self-sustaining entity where, the people there, the companies there, the businesses there, the artists there are producing, and the visitors there are producing content and storytelling, and it becomes more of a publicly owned space. I get kind of bored, honestly, after it's quite popular.
Radio Papesse per Manifattura Tabacchi, il podcast di Many Possible Cities.
Okay. But what are you doing in Los Angeles? Because we've been talking about this project, which is very, at the beginning even of its conceptual phase, so... It sounds to me that it's something that brings together your interest in urban regeneration and agriculture. Can you tell us something more, even if it's not.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting because it connects to your question about New York versus Los Angeles. And when I was living in New York, you know, New York's a really fast-paced city where you're always moving, and everything's always changing, and you're going a million miles a minute. And moving to Los Angeles actually gave me time for the first time to, like, just instead of focusing on my hustle, focusing on, like, my mental and physical health, and really, like, investigating, like, what I want my, like, mission to be on this earth, rather than just going on a career trajectory that's kind of linear, like I was on in New York. And I've always just had, like, a deep passion for urban agriculture and alternative food systems, and I am, like, an avid urban forager. And yeah, now I am brainstorming and concepting another adaptive reuse space that's all dedicated to local food production. And I think that there's, like, a big community need for it. It's called Wild Captives.
And I have a question.
Yeah.
On that side, relating to that. I mean, that goes together with a change with a shift in culture, meaning that urban culture is not necessarily associated with food production and agriculture, and working it with also your perspective on the use, on the reuse of space, and the reappropriation of spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think in your opinion, or in your ideal, as it's still a work in progress, an idea in progress, where is the shift in culture that needs to happen in order for a project like yours to develop, like also starting from small?
Yeah, and I think it is happening. I could speak to culture I notice in the U.S., but just this, like, new kind of fascination with people, like, kind of desperate to use their hands, and like people, like, a lot of my I see a lot of my friends just taking up pottery and wood carving, and this, like, tactile nature that we're humans are just born with and we've lost in this, like, digital age. And I think the same applies to food, and just this, like, curiosity into the root of how things are made that is just, like, innate in us, but we've been a little disconnected from.
But don't you think that there is also a matter of accessibility in that? Meaning, it is something that is very much related to, I would say, like, first world problems, meaning, like, a society that is very much connected and fast-paced and needs to get in touch,
mm-hmm.
as you were saying. So,
yeah.
Don't you think that there is also a matter of accessibility to this shift in culture? Because it is something that I'm wondering if and who are the people who you'd like to, who you aim to involve into this kind of
Totally. And I think ideally a project like this would have to come from the communities in which it exists. So I don't know. I don't have a site yet, but I know that the exact, like, contents and what it's focused is on would have to come from the community there, and what they eat and how their food, you know.
Yeah, not something brought in from outside, but needs to sprout in from
Yes,
there.
But a real, you know, demonstration of and place for local food and local food production and people making things.
Yeah, I think it's also the next step after a very ethics of, like, organic food consumption. I mean, if without this step, there wouldn't be a certain kind of sensitivity for your own food production. So
yeah.
I think you're exactly getting into the field in the right moment.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's a key to, like,
But also the social aspect of food, no? It's not only about food production, it's also like food as a means for...
It's also just, it's like the farmer's market effect, you know? Just, it makes people happy to know where they're... I don't even want to act like it's just food. I mean, where the things they buy come from, and to interact with the people making things. And yeah, I think it's just something that can make people, the places you live better, like culturally and economically.
Making it accessible, in order in a position to creating this like kind of elite organic food culture that mm-hmm. has been spreading for a while. That's exactly the opposite from what
yeah, it's also, like more. It's also showing people what they can do themselves too. I mean, obviously, we're never going to be able to like produce a lot of the grains on a small scale local. I mean, level, but the amount of like, you know, mushrooms and vegetables and sprouts and these like low, you know, things that don't require a lot of space but have a lot of nutritional value that you can grow at your home, and just get. Getting people aware of what they can do or what they can buy from their neighbor who's doing it.
Finger crossed for you.
What'd you say?
Finger crossed.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll see. Keep us posted.
We'll see what happens.
It is ambitious and it is beautiful.
Thanks.
And it's about farming ideas. You're really imagining something. I mean, it's
also like not even the word farming, because I think that's what scares people.
You're not using the term farming.
I do, but I think the idea of like. You know, being a farmer is really hard work, but I think there's also a complement to that, which is, and I think the farmers should still be growing a large portion of the core produce and proteins, but I think that there's also a lot more that people can do at a small scale level that doesn't require dedicating their lives to growing food that would increase their health and happiness.
Thank you, Kendall.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. See you soon.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Il podcast di Many Possible Cities è una produzione di Radio Papesse.
Thank you. Yes, congratulations to all of you.